B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid
Mass. It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In sports, we want to get our sports back. So importantly, these will be some separate calls. Some will be together by the way lists, and some will be separate. But we have to get our sports back. I'm tired of watching baseball games that are 14 years old. But I haven't actually had too much time to watch. I would say maybe I watch one batter and then I get back to work. The NBA, Adam Silver. The Major League Baseball. We miss our baseball. This is baseball season right here. Rob Manfred, thank you very much. NFL, Roger Goodell. Thank you, Roger. UFC, Dana White. Great Dana White. PGA, Jay Moynihan. LPGA, Michael Wan. USTA, Patrick Galbraith. Major League Soccer, Don Garber. WWE, the great Vince McMahon. NASCAR, Lisa Kennedy. Thank you, Lisa. NHL, Gary Bettman. From the New England Patriots, Bob Kraft. Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. And some of the thought leaders that we're going to have, and there are some others that we are having, we're just waiting to hear, but everybody's saying yes, I must say. And religious leaders will be coming on Friday. We'll be speaking to, and we're going to have a separate list, but we have tremendous enthusiasm to meet by our great religious leaders. We have incredible people, and they want to be a part. And we'll be talking about churches, and we'll be talking about opening, and we'll be talking about things that are very important to a lot of people, including me.
And that's Donald Trump yesterday, and we'll be talking about restarting sports. So apparently more conference calls today with the leaders of sport, commissioners, owners who you heard there, including Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots, Cuban, and Jerry Jones. They're in Dallas. That's where we're going to begin. The arrow continuing to point towards the return of sports, I think, and how you feel about that. Felger Mass, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. I come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz on location, Murray on location. Fellas, how you doing?
Good, you?
Just ducky.
Just peachy, thank you. Fresh as lettuce. Do you think the arrow continues to be pointed in that direction, Maz?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think this is something the president wants. And I think this is something, obviously, the leagues want. I think there was going to be every attempt here to try to make this thing work. And when I say attempt, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean, maybe in 3 weeks, maybe in 6 weeks. I don't know exactly when it all gets put into place and executed. But do I think they are heading towards, an attempt to get these leagues and teams back on the field? Yes, I do.
And it's in empty stadiums, which Murray last week was against. I want to take your temperature today. You still against that, Murray?
Oh, yeah. No, I hate it. And I think it's going to be, just a far cry from what we're used to watching. But I guess it's better than nothing. So we're all for the greater good here, right? So, bring it back. And it does seem like no matter what, they're going to push this through. And there's still going to be people that are going to be upset by it. But I don't know. I err on the, I guess we got to start to try to get this going eventually, right? So why not?
All right. So you're coming back a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. I'm still not going to, I'm not going to enjoy it as much as I did. But, it's a different time, obviously, that we're living in. So, you just got to get used to it, I suppose.
So, Maz, Murray says there that people will be against it. Who do you think's against it?
I think that you're going to get a segment, the non-sports people. I mean, the people that are, extremely, what's the right word? I don't want to use the word virtuous, but you know what I mean. People who are
overly cautious.
Yeah, overly cautious and are uptight and believe that no fun should be allowed and you can only do, the most basic things at a time like this. I think those people will be offended and they're going to ask questions like, well, why do sports get to come back and the theater does not? and I'm just, you know, throwing stuff against the wall. But I think you're going to get a blowback. You always get blowback on something like this. I think that there are huge benefits beyond the economic ones for society. I'm obviously a sports person, but that doesn't mean that we're in the you know, that we're in the majority or the controlling group. There are a lot of people that are going to be against it.
Yeah, you know, the more I think of it, the more I do. I go back to that thing I read in the Wall Street Journal on Sunday about, you know, if the only solution to a problem is to hold your head underwater, but as soon as you bring your head back up out of water, you have the same problem. That's not a solution. And I sort of look at it like this. And, you know, in this situation, and that is, I guess it's a long way of saying, we're going to have to come back outside eventually. Right? And if we all just lock ourselves in our house for another 6 months, 9 months, 18 months, as soon as we all come back out, it's going to be the same thing. Okay. And the only difference is, and the reason we shut ourselves in the first place, and it was the right thing to do, is because our hospitals weren't ready. And you know, that means a lot of things. The hospitals didn't have enough beds. The medical personnel didn't have enough PPE. We didn't have enough testing. But it was really about those things, and that's what we were trying to protect. But as soon as we come back outside, those things are going to be put to the test. So you just because we've locked ourselves in our house doesn't mean we've, you know, figured out the virus. We've just we're holding our heads underwater. So as soon as we have the hospitals set up, straightened away, PPE in place, medical personnel in place, as soon as our healthcare system is protected, and we have the testing and the equipment, we should come back out. Because it doesn't matter if we come back out in June if those things are ready, or a year from June if those things are ready. Am I wrong about that?
No, and I'm with you in that, you know, it's getting to a point, and I know we're only a month in, and people are going to probably get, you know, offended by this, but like at some point, we can't sit here forever. So I'm with you on that. And sports are already starting in some remote areas, and I know we're going to get to that, and there's baseball games being played in the world where there's no fans already. I guess my concern is, and one of the reasons that I you know, I'm like, I don't know, is if sports come back here in this country, and then they end up being a source for another outbreak, I think the consequences are going to be way more severe, and then God knows how long things are to get shut down for.
So, yeah, to me, it's not really a question of whether you want the sports back. It's a question about the timing of it. And so that's what I think the argument against it is. I don't know that anyone is saying, oh, no, we can't do this for a year. I just think people are saying it's too soon, and they might be right. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're definitively wrong. But I don't mind the idea of getting ready, being ready to push a little, and then giving it a try and seeing how it goes if and when the time is right to do that. I don't see the harm in that.
So an angle of the story that interests me really does come down from Trump and his push for it. I mean, it's obviously a priority of his to get sports back, and I don't think he's wrong to do it, frankly. I do think sports are a big economic driver in this country, and he's in charge of the economy, so fine. That's part of his purview. And I do think there's also a morale component. You know, he's also, part of his job is to help morale. And I think, frankly, he's done a very poor job of that so far because he's such a polarizing guy. He doesn't usually help matters. But, you know, getting sports back, I think, would be one of those things. So that's part of his purview, and that's fine. I'm fascinated by, again, though, part of that is, you know, he sort of wants it both ways where, you know, he goes on the other day about I have complete control and I can, you know, force the states to do what I want because my authority is complete. But yet the whole ethos of that side of the political aisle is state rights and, you know, a decentralized federal government. And so, like, he's sort of playing both those things. And as it, you know, as people look at the actual laws, it does turn out it's going to be up to the individual states. So what states are on board? What states aren't on board? And I'm fascinated by this facet of it. Ron DeSantis in Florida has already opened up his state to ball games and wrestling matches and sports and empty stadiums. And he's a huge ally of Trump and he's a red governor. And it's like, here we go. So there's the green light there. And in Arizona, there's a Republican governor in Arizona and something of a conservative state. And so, like, is that going to be a green light down there? And so we're going to, you know, as I said in our email chain, put on your camo and you'll load up the pickup truck. We're going to Red State America to play some ball, which I'm okay with. But I feel like that's sort of coming because New York ain't going to allow it anytime soon, and empty stadiums are not. And Gavin Newsom out in California ain't going to allow it in empty stadiums or not anytime soon. Illinois has said no, you know, that ain't happening anytime soon. I can't imagine it's going to happen in New Jersey or Michigan or places like this. No, we're going to Arizona and Florida, son. You ready for it?
Well, so look, to me, again, Arizona makes a lot of sense, whether it's a red state or a blue state. And the only part I find, so again, I look at it, or I try to look at it from a logic standpoint. What is practical? Where can you do it? Where is it possible? The only part about the political aspect of this that concerns me is that decisions potentially will be made or already have been based on political alliances as opposed to what is right. And so that's the part that worries me, whether it's the Blues agreeing with the Blues or the Reds agreeing with the Reds. To me, the decisions should be made based on what is the best chance for success and what is right, not because I'm aligned with the president.
Oh, you know, yeah, fat both chance.
Yeah.
Well, of course. Right. So, but that's what I'm telling you is that's the part of it that alarms me, because I think that introduces a greater likelihood of mistakes.
Well, I've just accepted it, you know.
Okay.
Me too. And it's disappointing.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, again, I told you, I think Arizona is the best setup for baseball.
Go ahead, Murray.
Yeah, but it's already played out this way.
Sure.
You know, I don't expect that to change. I mean, you have some of these governors like Newsom in California that are dug in. And I get, like, you know, this is the world we live in now. It's more divided than ever on those political lines. And it should be, again, for all the greater good. Again, that's what we're all saying to each other, right? Isn't it? We're all in this together. But it doesn't seem that way. If we can find ways to get things going here in the next few months, it shouldn't just be in isolated areas in Florida and Arizona if you see the numbers go down in other states.
Okay, folks, so we can, Jimmy, if you've disinfected and wiped down the hounds, we may release them at 617-779-0985. You want to pack up your pickup truck, put on your camo, and head to Florida, Arizona? I do. I'm all in. Fine with me, if that's what it takes. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. But it is fascinating to me, the push from the federal government about sports and how this is a priority. He's even got poor Fauci on board. You know, the good doctor on Snapchat today, you'll hear the sound. You may have heard it here on Beadle and Zolak there. You know, even Fauci's going on Snapchat and saying, well, yeah, it can be done in these empty stadiums and quarantine hotels and this sort of, you know, an idea that I think a lot of people have looked at and said, this is just, that's nonsense. There's no way that could possibly happen. It's not feasible. And here's the top doctor in the country, you know, quote unquote, endorsing that plan. And, you know, where do you think that's coming from? Fauci's got to play the political game with his boss, who's Trump. And I just think that, you know, I think it all started a week and a half ago with that original call with the commissioners, Maz. And here we are a week and a half later, and there's another call, and even Fauci's on board with empty stadiums. And this is where it's headed.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, there's no question it's where it's headed. And again, I'd like to see them give a crack at it. And I think these things are all sort of tied together. The stories that Jeff Passan has written, for example, about the whole setup in Arizona and MLB having federal health officials on board. I think this was all facilitated by the president.
Do either of you have any concerns, though, about the timing of Fauci saying this? In the last few days, it's, you know, there's been rumors that he was going to get fired.
Sure.
Yes.
Of course. The pressure. It's another thing I've accepted. It's just Trump has brought Fauci into line. And, you know, I think it's deplorable in some respects, but it is what it is. I'm not going to fight it. You know, I'm not going to fight it here. Right. And I want sports to come back. So ultimately, you know, I'm OK with that push. I just hope Fauci doesn't go against his real principles and what he really believes.
Well, so this is part of what I'm saying is I want the games to come back too. I'm just telling you that when you introduce this element, again, regardless of which side is putting the pressure on which side, that once you start to introduce this element of we're going to do it for political reasons instead of logical ones, then to me, you increase the likelihood of mistakes.
Okay, but, you know, Fauci hasn't said play ball. He said it's possible. He said, and we'll play the sound, and you may have heard it already. It's conceivable. It can happen. It's possible. He's not saying it's going to, and it will, and it's an easy thing. He's saying he's just not closing the door to it, which is fine. And Fauci, as great as he is, as much as we love him, he is a political animal. He has survived 6 different presidents.
It's amazing.
I mean, he's had this job under Reagan and Obama and Clinton and 2 Bushes and now Trump. And it's like, if the only way he keeps his job is by playing the political game. So there's going to be a piece to that. And he talks so much. He's such a spokesman for it and is in so many forums that he's going to piss people off, which is sort of my kind of guy. And he pisses people off on both sides. It's like the wing nuts are like, fire Fauci, and like all the right wing, you know, they all want him gone. And I'm sure, like today, him saying we can play ball in these empty stadiums is pissed off the other side. Well, that's good. That means maybe you're doing your job. You're pissing everybody off. But of course, he's political. He's going to be political. He has to be political to survive as long as he has in that position. So this is where we're starting. Also going to pick up that Major League Baseball proposal. And, you know, they're signed on to this massive wave of testing. And baseball, again, claiming that they're just doing it for the greater good, that they're going to be the guinea pig to benefit science and the researchers. And, boy, is that a load of it. But I still think they're doing the right thing. We'll pick that up as well with your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Baseball worried at all about making sure they're clarified what's happening here, because we hear, oh, there's a test and it's coronavirus and it's the sports leagues and preferential treatment, right? We saw some blowback on the NBA. And are they worried about that, or how are they getting that message out? Or are you and I the message here?
Yeah, I think that we need to serve as the message in saying that there's a big difference between the tests that healthcare workers need, that people who are sick need, and the tests that Major League Baseball is getting right now. These sorts of tests are tests for research. They're tests for epidemiology. They're tests to look back on what may have happened, not what is happening in this moment. They're called serology tests. And if you have serology tests, you have a much better sense of what the population writ large ends up looking like and just how many people are carrying these antibodies. And the whole idea is, once you get to the point where a large number of people are carrying these antibodies, it's what's called herd immunity. And if you have herd immunity, all of a sudden the coronavirus isn't nearly as scary or as dangerous.
So this part interests me as well. It's Jeff Passan, ESPN. He'll be on the program later on. You can stay tuned for that. Jeff Passan reported, along with Maz and a few others, right around the same time yesterday afternoon. Maz had this as well, that Major League Baseball is participating in a massive study that is, authored by Stanford University, among others, that will test up to 10,000 people for the coronavirus antibodies. And there's a lot of, you know, facets of this that interest me, but the blowback that they're going to get is that, well, how do you get tests and we don't? So do you have a quick answer for that, Maz, before we go to some phones?
Well, so look, I do agree with Passan that I think it is a little different. Than these are not a test to determine who has it and who needs treatment. It's more about who can reenter society. But even so, there's clearly a benefit here for Major League Baseball, that if they can find that a lot of their own people have already had it, they can certainly decide who's going to go back to work and who isn't, and they can be more prepared if and when the time comes to get back on the field. If what Passan is saying is true, that we need to be the vehicle, the messenger in this sort of thing, my question is, then why weren't all the leagues jumping at this? In other words, if this is just, you know, there's got to be a benefit here for MLB. There's something there that we're missing.
So, of course there's a benefit for MLB. They just don't want to admit it because it's bad PR. Because it does. The optics look like they're getting tests before other people. And maybe they are kind of to an extent. And this is why I think they'd be better served by just owning it. By saying, yeah, this might have some benefit for us, you know, down the line. But it's also going to help you and researchers and the better good. So we all win. And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, they should own it. I mean, regardless, people are going to be pissed. So just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, the proverbial Band-Aid off now and just say that.
So to me, Maz, this is the biggest benefit. Because apparently three teams are not participating.
Right.
Which to me is bananas. Like, what, are you stupid? Like, get on.
Well, I have a theory on that.
Okay, well, I'll give you my take first. Again, we know people here locally who were part of this sample. They were asked, and what they're doing is, it's not just players, it's team personnel, it's production personnel, anyone who might actually, if just say, for example, you would be part of the whole operation that would go to Arizona and and broadcast games from an empty stadium in Arizona or Florida, you were asked if you want to be tested. And what this is one big giant dry run. The test is it's a finger prick. You prick your finger and you bleed into a little thing, and then 15 minutes later, you put some other things on it, other little solutions on it, and then you find out in 15 minutes whether you had the virus or not, or whether you've developed the antibodies or not. And it's sort of a process. It's a thing. And you have to test yourself, I don't know, either every week or every day. But this is a dry run for the entire Major League Baseball community. If we go to Florida and or Arizona and kick off the season in empty stadiums in these locations, this is what we're all going to have to do. So here's what it's going to look like. Here's what the test looks like. Here's how you do it. Do it. Send in your results. See what they are. But just know that if we all go to Florida and back to Fort Myers, this is what we're all doing. And so it's all like a dry run for what they're actually going to be doing when they head to Florida. So, of course, I mean, there's a benefit to baseball just on that end. Never mind determining who has the antibodies or not, Miss.
Well, so true. I agree. I mean, there's no question there is a benefit to baseball. I always wonder about, if there's something more. That's all. I'm not telling you that benefit that we're talking about is insignificant. I think it is significant. I just wonder if there's something more there we're not being told about. Because honestly, I think that the fact that this came out yesterday in retrospect was a coordinated effort. I don't think there's any two ways about that. First of all, you had directors of the studies quoted in the stories, which means that they took the calls and they were made available to members of the media. That's number one. And then number two, there were multiple media outlets that had this at basically the same time. You had mentioned that we had heard something similar yesterday during the show. Passan obviously had it and had it out there with quotes from medical officials or study officials, I should say. In his story at about the time we were hearing it, and Molly Knight of The Athletic also had the story. So this thing came out in multiple places at the same time, which to me says baseball wanted it out there, and there's a reason they wanted it out there. They were, as you say, getting ahead of it and controlling
it. Okay, so, well, I mean, we heard it from someone who was actually sampled. So it was requested, who saw the email, do you want to get in on this sampling test? Because he's... again, loosely related with maybe what the Red Sox would be doing down in Florida. So, we weren't part of that coordinated effort, but I understand that there was. What's your conspiracy theory, Miss?
I can't tell. But listen, how we heard it, I'm telling you, I made calls later in the day. Okay? So, we had heard something earlier in the day, but I'm also telling you that I think there's
fine. So what's the punchline?
To get out in front of it. They wanted to make sure they controlled the narrative so that, I just said that a minute ago, to get out in front of it to say that this is, we're not getting any benefit from it. And I just find that to be, peculiar. That's all. Whenever something is that coordinated to me, I just think there's something more to it, Mike, than just being able to do the dry run. There's something else there.
I still feel like you're not telling me exactly how you feel, but that's okay. What else would it be? And does it tie?
I don't know. I'm not holding back on you. I'm telling you that I don't completely trust that MLB's motives are what they say they are. To me, I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just telling you that I'm skeptical.
I'll fill it in for you. They want to get going. They want their season to kick off, and this test is going to help them do it. It's selfish motives, of course, which I don't necessarily blame them for. What about the three teams that aren't participating in it?
So my guess there is it has something to do with the places that were hit hardest. And so somehow it's related to the number of people that have been infected in those teams, or maybe they're all in the same state. Maybe they're all in a similar part of the state. Maybe we're talking about teams in California, and there are multiple teams obviously out there. You got a couple in the LA area plus San Diego, two in Northern California. So were they California teams or New York teams? New York has been absolutely devastated by the virus, as we know. And so my guess is maybe they discouraged participation in some of those areas because they thought it might skew the data. I don't know. It has to have something to do with that, is my guess.
Okay, Murray, did you have a thought before we hit the headline and the calls?
No, you already got it. I wanted to know if he had a theory on those three teams that were the holdouts.
Yeah, I can't. I think it's silly. I mean, are the results going to be public? I haven't read anything on that. Are they going to release the results of the 10,000 samples that come back? I mean, not that anyone can keep any secret, but I mean, if I'm any team I'm doing it because for as much as anything, a dry run for what we're all going to be doing down in Florida next month when we get going. We're all going to be pricking our fingers and testing ourselves. So let's figure this out now. Here's what it's going to look like. If nothing else, your calls are all lined up. I promise we'll get to you right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
People are still holding out hope for some kind of abbreviated baseball season this summer. College football will start in late August, NFL right after that. Do you think those sports seasons are in jeopardy? Are we going to have college football this fall?
There's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
So that's Anthony Fauci. This thing we've been talking about for a while. A lot of ideas that people think are just unrealistic, crazy. Well, now your lead, I don't know, coronavirus researcher, doctor, the lead guy in the federal government, Anthony Fauci, laying out the same scenario. So if you don't think that's momentum towards this coming back, I don't know what is or, you know, what constituted for you. And Trump, again, on the call today with more commissioners and team owners, and we'll see what comes out of that. But as promised, here are some calls. Keith in Pittsfield, lead us off. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I just want to make two quick points. The first one is I disagree with Maz. You know, people that push back aren't pushing back because we're being too careful. The idea is you're potentially trading all these months and weeks of quarantine for what is essentially a completely unwatchable product, like Jim Murray said. And I mean, what you'd effectively be watching is a sanctioned scrimmage baseball game. So great. And then if that goes on to rekindle the virus, what was that worth sitting there watching this garbage product? I came across a WWE broadcast the other day with no fans, and it was the most unwatchable, awkward thing I've ever seen. And then the second point is, to what end is sports an essential service if one of these major athletes were to succumb to this virus, or if it got traced back that having these leagues start up again ended up costing hundreds of people their lives from contact? Where are we going with this? I mean, it's not, we can get by without this stuff, and I don't want to trade in all this time I've wasted in my house because somebody wanted to play baseball. I mean, it's,
hey, Keith?
It's horrible being at home.
Keith,
you know? Yeah,
it's a good call. You make some good points. Thank you. We will address Maz. Do you care to go first?
Well, I would just say that I thought his last point was his best one, which is that if it sets everybody back, then it's not worth it. That's really, to me, what the bigger issue is. The glorified scrimmage thing I don't think is entirely accurate because you'll have big league players in there. You won't have atmosphere. You won't have, you know, all, you know, the whole environment you won't have, but you'll have legitimate talent on the field, at least in theory.
Okay, my point is this. On the second part, it's definitely not essential. And this is another thing that I would, you know, I would behoove the government down in Florida or these leagues, if they classify it as essential personnel and essential behavior. No, it's not essential. So don't, you know, it's economic and it's okay that you want to get the economy going. So put it in that context. This is part of this is part of the effort to restart our economy. That is a more honest assessment of what we're doing than some sort of essential, you know, thing of society. So that I agree with the caller. The thing he said about, you know, I don't want to be set back, you know, for lousy baseball. The thing is, you're going to have a setback as soon as we come outside. This is the point. This is the point. We're holding our head underwater. And unless you want to wait for the vaccine, which is 12, 18, 24 months, there's going to be a setback as soon as we come out. All right, so the point is getting the hospitals and the healthcare system prepared for it. And maybe finding some treatment in the interim, some sort of half measure that keeps people out of the hospitals and keeps the strain off of the healthcare system. But as soon as we unlock the doors and come out, there's going to be some form of a setback unless there's a vaccine, and that's a year or two away. And we're not going to sit in our houses for 2 years. So that's what I'm coming around to, too.
Yeah, that's where I've, you know, as much as I think, much like the caller, aesthetically, like, it's going to look real weird. I don't think it's going to be like a scrimmage. Again, like Maz said, you're talking about professionals. They're going to try. I do still wonder if some of these guys are going to lose their mind being quarantined in a hotel for as long as they're going to be. But you'll still get pro sports. It'll just look different. That being said, like, I don't know, we can't sit here forever. We just can't. Like, 12, 18 months.
I'm not sure the games. Yeah, you know what? And we'll hit on this in a little bit. I'm not sure that the games are going to look that much. Some will. I think it's going to affect some sports more than others. But I'm not so sure that there might be some games in some sports where you don't even know the difference. Nick in Plymouth, go ahead. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Yesterday you had Jimmy talking about the WWE events where some of the wrestlers didn't have to perform or entertain people. But that's the thing where I'm wondering about some of these sports where you have a baseball union that's really good with their players and they have a lot of athletes that are down in the South area out of the United States. How are the unions going to be able to justify this, and how do they place measures to protect their players who are worried and don't want to participate?
So what do you mean? They're going to follow the will of their players. If there's a preponderance and not just a simple majority, but a overwhelming majority of players that want to return to sports are going to return. And that's that. And if an overwhelming majority of the players don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. So no one's going to be forced to do it that doesn't want to do it. My thing, Maz, is I'm curious about, are there going to be stray guys that don't want to do it? Like, 90% of the baseball players want to come back, but that 10% doesn't. And does that mean, one or two players per team? And now I'm looking at, not best on best. I'm not looking at the best players, or if the NBA comes back and there's one player per rotation that doesn't want to leave their family and go quarantine themselves in Vegas. That's going to bug me a little bit. I hope the players are either all or nothing. We're all going to go do it, or we're all not going to go do it.
Yeah, but they won't be, right? And again, I'm not trying to, the likelihood that 100% of the players on every team are going to agree is small. There are probably going to be players who do hold out and don't want to come back, and that is going to mess up the whole thing at least a little, depending on who the players are. But if the Mike Trouts of the world start saying, "Hey, look, I'm making $30 million a year or $35 million a year. I made it last year. I don't need to come back this year, and I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to wait," then that's a problem.
That's a huge, right, exactly.
Yeah, what the caller's asking, ultimately, this is going to be bargained. I mean, they're going to have a discussion. There's going to be an agreement between the owners, the leagues, and the players. They're going to bargain it, and they're going to decide, do we want to do this or not? And hopefully, they'll get all the big names on board.
And this is what I think. I wonder if the sort of evolution of the baseball plan from just Arizona to Arizona and Florida was part of a pushback on the part of the players that said, I'm not, as Chris Sale said, I'm not going to talk to my family for 4.5 months through a fence. Let me go home to Fort Myers and let's the Florida teams be in Florida and the Arizona teams be in Arizona. And then we can all be in our off-season homes or rented homes with our family and let us do that. And so I wonder if there is, that back and forth. Jonathan, go ahead.
Sorry,
yes.
Go ahead.
No, go.
No, I don't have anything there. Go.
Okay, Jonathan and Melrose. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going? I just had a quick question. I was wondering how it would work out if they ended up doing the no fans coming to the game for, the owners, in the sense of obviously tickets aren't going to be sold, concessions, all that type of stuff, and if there'd be any type of, blowback or something from them because they wouldn't be taking in as much money. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but so do you want half your money or do you want none of your money? I mean, that's what they're come down to. They're losing the gate. They're losing ticket revenue, concession revenue. There's still massive impact for not just them, but you, us, the bars, restaurants. They aren't benefited by this, so it's a half measure. So the question is, do you want half or nothing?
Well, right. This is all about minimizing losses now. That's what this is about. And that's true of every business, by the way, because everybody's taking hits all over the place. The question is, how much of it can you reclaim?
Okay, and again, curious. I'm not curious. I have a good feeling where we're going to be doing these things. Where are we going to be doing it? And it's, you keep saying, Red State America, pack the camo, because we're headed to Arizona, we're headed to Florida, we're headed to places that are have governors that are friendly with Trump, and et cetera. And that's where it's going. If that's what it takes, count me in. Count me in with Ron DeSantis down in Florida and what's going on in Arizona. We'll pick that up on the other side with our long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Disney asked to have some of the gardening people be able to go because they have all the millions of dollars worth of stuff there and it would just go bad. And then we said, okay, is there going to be social distance? Yeah, people are going to go out and work themselves. Obviously, WWE, there's no crowd or anything, so it's a very, very small number of people. So we just kind of look at it on a case-by-case basis. We haven't had a huge amount of requests. I mean, so I think a lot of this will just be, you know, what do we look like in May with some of this rather than being able to do stuff. Now, the one thing, though, I do support is I think that we do need to support, like, content, like, especially, like, sports and events. And we're not going to have crowds there. I get that. But if we can do, like, if NASCAR does a race and can televise it without having large crowds, I think that's a good thing. I'd like to see Woods and Mickelson do the golf or whatever because that's social distance. You wouldn't have a gallery there. You wouldn't have crowds. But to put that on TV, I think people have been starved for content. I mean, we haven't had a lot of new content since the beginning of March. Here we are now, or the middle of March. Here we are the middle of April. And if people are, you know, being told to stay closer to the house, it sure does help to have some fresh things to be able to do. And I think people are chomping at the bit. I mean, if you think about it, we've never had a period like this in modern American history where you've had such little new content, particularly in the sporting realm. I mean, people are watching, you know, we're watching like reruns from the early 2000s watching Tom Brady do the Super Bowl then, which is neat because he's going to be in Tampa and I think they got a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. But I think people, you know, to be able to have some light at the end of the tunnel, see the things may get back on a better course. I think from just a psychological perspective, I think it's a good thing. So.
This guy. Because that's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, man. As you're shaking your head, not exactly, I don't know, didn't he actually feel like the gravitas of a executive leader in a time of crisis? Why is he so worried about the content? Since when is content on our TV the purview? You know, even Fauci mentioned it, too. But since when is content on our TV the purview of governors, presidents, and infectious disease experts?
It's not, obviously. And listening to him, I almost passed out because I was deprived of oxygen, for crying out loud. It's like listening to Burt Breer. Holy crap. The guy went on and on and on and on and on and didn't take a breath. I went like, is that what I sound like? Holy smokes.
But, the difference in tone from different states is... That is, to me, striking and interesting. So, again, and I'm just, reading from news reports here. Donald Trump is scheduled to hold a call Wednesday with his committee focused on reopening America, which will include Major League commissioners and Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, Patriots owner Robert Kraft, and Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. That was happening today. However, there are governors across America who are less keen on this idea. For example, quote, I come from a state where sports are extraordinarily important to people, said Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He says, we're not going to allow sports to reopen major league sports unless we have all of these preconditions set, because I'm not going to have tens of thousands of people getting into an arena together and giving each other COVID-19. Pritzker's view on restarting sports was echoed by California Governor Gavin Newsom during his press conference on Tuesday. Quote, the prospect of mass gatherings is negligible at best until we get to herd immunity and we get to a vaccine, said Newsom. So large-scale events that bring in hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of strangers all together across every conceivable difference, health and otherwise, is not in the cards based on our current guidelines and current expectations. So Newsom, no. Pritzker in Illinois, no. You know Cuomo in New York, no. New Jersey, no. Not going to happen in these places. However, Florida and Ron DeSantis, we haven't had content here in what since I'm watching ball games from early 2000, and Trump says, I got to sit and watch these old baseball games. I only watch one batter, and then I go back to work. And even Fauci says, I want to watch the Washington Nationals. It's like the tone between the red and the blue is pretty striking. I also like to think that it's not just that. I mean, the outbreaks, obviously, in New York, Chicago, these places are worse than in a lot of places in Florida, although certainly not all, and it's also based on that. But, you know, the difference is striking. Let me give you one more. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, who's a, you know, Republican, Trump loyalist, says he has also had discussions with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, adding that, quote, he is very open-minded to hosting games when the state was deemed in a position to do so. Quote, we have the facilities that are here. We have the hotel space that is here. We're going to want to make certain that the metrics and data are proper before we are able to go forward, said Ducey. Two words that would allow the country and the state of Arizona to know that things are headed back to normal would be play ball. He actually said that. So, again, you've got governors in certain states in this country saying, no shot, not until we get vaccines and herd immunity. I'm not bringing people together in large quantities. I'm not doing this anytime soon. We're a long way away, said half the governors. The other half said, play ball. And so we're going to pack up and travel to the places that say play ball. You have a problem with that, Murray?
No. I think it's funny in a way, in a sick way, because it's how these respective states and party lines are treating it, or how, you know, it's playing right into the stereotypes about those parties. The Democrats and the Democratic states care about the people. The Republicans, the Republican states care about the money and business.
Yeah,
you know,
and
I would love to know what Jerry Jones sounded like on that call. Hey, Don, you got to get this country to open up like a pair of legs at 2 a.m. You know what I mean, Don? You know what I mean.
Jerry Jones on the call. I'm sure that's really productive, but. You know, but it does go back to, and now this whole tug and pull, which is certainly not a sports story, but, you know, Trump the other day, I have ultimate authority. I'm going to open up the states. The governors say, no, actually, the Constitution, no. And so, like, this whole tug and pull, but there's a way around it. And that's not to even, you know, don't even go there battling the states. Just let's go to the states that'll have it. But there was this, I saved this clip the other day because I told you, Trump's press conference, I guess it was on Monday night, was so freaking bananas. I did grab some clips from it. This is a montage of him battling the press corps on the states' rights things, and I have control, no, they have control, and him arguing. I mean, all these press conferences have just turned into him screaming back and forth in the press corps there. Him and the press corps just bickering at each other for an hour and a half. You know, it's all these press conferences have become. They're freaking useless, but kind of still mildly entertaining. Here's Trump and the whole states' rights thing.
There's a debate over what authority you have to order the country reopened. What authority do you
have? Well, I have the ultimate authority. The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do, which is very powerful. The President of the United States calls the shots. If we weren't here for the states, you would have had a problem in this country like you've never seen before.
You said when someone is President of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true.
Who told you? Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this. It's not going to be necessary because the governors need us one way or the other, because ultimately it comes with the federal government. That being said, we're getting along very well with the governors, and I feel very certain that there won't be a problem. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Has any governor agreed that you have the authority to decide when their state
I haven't asked anybody. Because I don't, you know why? Because I don't have to. Go ahead, please.
But who told you the president has the total authority?
Enough.
Just to clarify your understanding of your authority vis-a-vis governors, just to be very specific. For instance, if a governor issued a state home
when you say my authority, the president's authority, not mine, because it's not me. This is when somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be.
Total. Your authority is total.
It's total. It's total. And the governors know that.
So if the governors know that.
Now you have a couple of bands of excuse me. You have a couple.
Could you rescind that order?
You have a couple of bands of Democrat governors, but they will agree to it. They will agree to it. But the authority of the president of the United States having to do with the subject we're talking about is total. Look, look.
From the standpoint of the Constitution.
Yes, Constitution.
You thought it should be up to the governors.
You can look at constitutionally. You can look at federalism. You can look at it any different way. John, the fact that I don't want to exert my power is much different. We have the power. Does the federal government have the power? The federal government has absolute power. It has the power. As to whether or not I'll use that power, we'll see.
Okay, so that was just, I don't know, whatever, that minute and a half. They went on for like 45 minutes bickering back and forth about whether he could tell the governors what to do or not. You know, instead of just doing that, let's just go to Arizona and Florida and play ball. And
it's a hell of a lot simpler. That's for sure. Right? There's no gray areas about the agreement there.
Okay, so the empty stadium business. Some people hate Murray Hates, think it's going to be a bad product. I'm not so sure. I think it's going to affect some sports more than others. We'll pick that up with your calls after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.